A proposed change to the federal fuel and car standards could have a large impact in Utah. Climate activist Tim DeChristopher is released from federal custody, and the Utah Department of Health is opening up enrollment to the Primary Care Network. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Brian Grimmett. The Federal Environmental Protection Agency is now taking public comment on proposed new cleaner fuels and cars standards. Known as Tier 3 of the Clean Air Act amendments, they're designed to reduce air pollution and improve public health by reducing the sulfur content of gasoline and making cars more efficient. KUER's Andrea Smartin looks at how Tier 3 standards might impact Utah, which has both a distinct air pollution problem and a petroleum refining industry.
Once in place, the EPA claims the new standards will prevent more than 2,000 premature deaths and thousands of hospital visits per year across the country. Christopher Thomas is executive director of Heal Utah, a health and environmental advocacy organization. He says this state, which has seen the worst pollution in the country during the last winter inversion, stands to benefit substantially from these standards.
These new standards proposed by EPA could be huge for Utah. As I look at the air pollution problem, this is one of the biggest single improvements we can make that will have incredible near-term benefits to our health.
The proposal cuts a range of pollutants from car emissions, including volatile organic compounds, nitrogen oxides, and particulate matter. The proposed standards would reduce gasoline sulfur levels by more than 60%, which enables emission control technologies to function more efficiently. The EPA estimates the cost to achieve this standard would add about a penny per gallon of gas to the consumer. Thomas thinks this is a low price to pay.
I think if you asked most Utahns who live along the Wasatch Front, would they be willing to invest an additional penny per gallon to have cleaner air? I think you'd get a resounding yes. And actually, public polling that has been done on these types of questions has shown most Americans agree that, you know, we need these cleaner standards, we need cleaner air, and we're willing to make that investment.
While many support the new standards, refineries are categorically opposed because of the cost to get the sulfur content of gasoline down to 10 parts per million. Tesoro, which has a refinery in Salt Lake City, has been a vocal critic of the standards. In a statement to KUER, officials say there's a lack of discernible health benefits when compared to the costs of compliance. And they say the EPA has refused to share any real cost-benefit analysis with the industry or with Congress. Michael Aston is the environmental manager for Holly Frontier Refinery in Woods Cross. He says the costs will be bigger than people think.
Their cost estimates are wrong of what it's going to cost the refineries in order to do this. People have the mistaken opinion that all we need to do is go out and turn down the sulfur and gasoline knob and the amount of sulfur and gasoline goes down. And it's technically not possible.
Aston says the company already spent $100 million on operational improvements to meet previous sulfur standards less than 10 years ago. He says he can't estimate the cost to comply with the new standards because Holly Frontier hasn't even figured out the engineering necessary to achieve additional reductions in sulfur. And he warns that the new standards may actually increase emissions at the refinery.
I don't know how we're going to do it. And it's probably going to require that we install at least one complete new unit. Now, that unit is also going to have heaters, and it's going to require energy, and it's going to have emissions.
Aston says consumers may end up paying more at the pump if some refineries are forced to go out of business, though he doesn't see Holly Frontier going under. Historically, Governor Gary Herbert has been supportive of the refining industry in the state, but Christopher Thomas of Heal Utah wants the governor to publicly support the new EPA standards.
You know, there are so many people and groups that are supportive of these new EPA standards, but the main critics right now happen to be congressional Republicans and refineries. There would be nothing better for this air quality standard to move forward than to have somebody like Governor Herbert, a Republican governor, stand up alongside the EPA to say how important this is for all of our health.
The governor's office directed KUER's interview request to Bryce Byrd, director of the state's Division of Air Quality. Byrd says they are early in the process of reviewing the proposal, and the state has not taken an official position. But from his agency's perspective, the EPA's proposed standards would undeniably benefit Utah's air quality.
I expect that this is something that we should support, that here at the state level, of course, vehicles are very important to us. You know, over 50% of the emissions on a daily basis come from those vehicles. If we can find a way, a cost-effective way, to make sure that vehicles are cleaner and operated cleaner in the future, that's certainly a kind of a win-win. It doesn't cost us a lot. It lets us keep our mobility and our transportation system in place, but ultimately results in better air quality, which is something we all want and need.
The public comment period is open until June 13th. If approved, the new standards would go into effect in 2017. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Climate activist Tim DeChristopher made his first public appearance last night since being released from federal custody on Sunday. He was sentenced in 2011 to 2 years in federal prison for derailing a 2008 Bureau of Land Management oil and gas lease auction. DeChristopher joined hundreds of his supporters at the Tower Theater in Salt Lake City for a screening of the documentary Bitter 70, which details his act of civil disobedience and his conviction. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Following the screening of Bitter 70, DeChristopher took questions from the audience, most of whom wanted to know how to move forward with an anti-fossil fuel agenda in the wake of his publicized arrest and lengthy trial.
If anybody's got any ideas.
DeChristopher told the audience after being in isolation, he's not sure what his next step will be in terms of environmental activism.
My course of action at this time, I think, is just to try to plug back into the movement and see where I can be helpful and see where I can support folks.
DeChristopher was released from federal prison and transferred to a Salt Lake City halfway house in October. Although he is free from federal custody, he still has some legal limitations. His 3-year probation requires him to check in with a parole officer and notify authorities when he travels. DeChristopher plans to enroll in Harvard Divinity School to become a Unitarian minister. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Governor Gary Herbert is out of the country right now on a trade mission in Israel, but that didn't stop environmentalists from holding their Earth Day rally right in front of the governor's mansion on South Temple. Demonstrators wrote their messages of protest on blue ribbons and had to tie them to a volleyball net because they weren't allowed to put them on the governor's wrought iron fence. Cecily Price Hewish with the Davis County Citizens Coalition criticized Utah's legislature for spending millions to study relocating the prison while the oil refineries in North Salt Lake are planning expansions.
Maybe they ought to consider moving the refineries in the interest of public health instead of moving our prison to benefit a few real estate developers.
Brian Mensch with Utah Physicians for a Healthy Environment criticized the governor's voluntary program to reduce air pollution while making plans for a big new freeway.
The state is proposing the West Davis Corridor in South Davis County to go from Ogden to South Davis County, another big freeway, probably $700 million. The governor, while he's asking people to drive less, we're going to spend $700 million to help them drive more.
Governor Herbert did win praise from the group on one point, his recent decision not to sign an agreement with the state of Nevada dividing water rights in the Snake Valley.
The Utah Department of Health announced yesterday that it will allow open enrollment for its health coverage plan known as Primary Care Network, or PCN. KUER's Terry Gilday reports the plan is designed to provide low-income people and families with preventative care options, but there are many services it does not cover.
Since March 2012, but enough funding currently exists to allow for open enrollment over the next 3 to 4 weeks. Colby Young is a spokesperson for the Utah Department of Health.
PCN is a program that's available for low-income adults that do not qualify for Medicaid in Utah to receive services provided through the primary care provider. Those benefits include physician services, prescriptions, dental exams, emergency room visits, etc.
Some of the requirements to qualify for PCN include being a U.S. citizen, having no access to other health care coverage, and meeting the income guidelines. That means making less than $35,000 a year for a family of four. Judy Hillman is the executive director of the Utah Health Policy Project. She says there are many health care scenarios that PCN wouldn't help.
It's prevention-oriented primary care only. So no inpatient hospital coverage and no specialty care coverage. It's not that that benefit doesn't have value. It does. But, you know, I think that really what we would like to see families do is, when they sign up for the PCN, is to also prepare for October 1st.
That's the day that states could begin offering expanded Medicaid coverage and other programs as outlined in the Affordable Care Act. Lawmakers in Utah haven't decided yet whether or not to expand Medicaid here. A decision by Governor Herbert is expected sometime later this year. Meanwhile, the PCN enrollment period will last until May 6th for adults without children and May 17th for adults with children. Terry Gilday, KUER News.
The U.S. Attorney's Office in Salt Lake City has dismissed another drug case that came out of the West Valley City Police Department. The dismissal marks the ninth West Valley City case to be dropped by federal authorities as the department's drug unit is being investigated by the FBI. Along with the cases dismissed by the Salt Lake County District Attorney, a total of 97 cases involving the unit have been dropped by federal and local prosecutors. A 22-year-old teacher who just begun her career at Riverton High School has been arrested and charged with rape. The charges were filed against Courtney Louise Jarrell last Friday in 3rd District Court. Court documents say Jarrell allegedly had illegal sexual activity at her home with a 17-year-old girl who attends the school. She faces 5 years to life in prison. Her attorney says she will plead not guilty. Her first court appearance is set for May 16th. Utah's two Republican senators have mixed reactions to the comprehensive immigration bill introduced last week in the U.S. Senate. Senator Orrin Hatch helped hammer out an agreement for agriculture workers under the bill and says he wants to support the measure but has some concerns. But Senator Mike Lee says he can't support the bill as long as it includes a path to citizenship for the estimated 11 million immigrants living in the country illegally. Two industry partners are proposing to carry electricity generated by wind power from Wyoming's southwest corner to the Las Vegas area. Duke Energy and American Transmission Company want to build a 950-mile transmission line across Utah. They're calling it the Zephyr Project, and they expect it to cost about $3.5 billion. And finally, Utah residents donated just under $12 million to presidential candidates last year, according to the latest campaign disclosure reports filed with the Federal Election Commission. Republican candidates got about $10 million of that, with about $9.2 million supporting Mitt Romney's campaign. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, April 23rd. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.